short piece I'm going to read, something I wrote with a few friends and colleagues a few years ago. Some have called it a manifesto. It's a little more modest than that. It's expressing our love and commitment to our UU tradition, as well as our hopes for the ways it might continue to deepen and evolve in the future. The Church of Our Imagination. We love our congregations, and we are called out of them. We imagine church within and beyond buildings. We imagine church through a social enterprise, a cafe, a bike shop, a community center. We imagine church in houses, meeting in small groups as part of a larger body. We imagine church on the street, building relationships, hearing stories, becoming friends. We imagine church embedded in neighborhoods with deep roots and porous walls. And we imagine our present churches vibrant and sustainable, embedded in a dynamic web of relationship. We are called to start building this web. I'll start off with a story. Dan Stevenson is neither a Buddhist nor a follower of any organized religion. So begins an article in the San Francisco Chronicle. And yet he has helped to do something not many religious people can claim to have done. He lives in Oakland, California, and the story goes that he was just feeling hopeful when he went to the local hardware store and purchased a 2-foot-high Buddha statue and set it up on a strip of pavement dividing two roads in his neighborhood. He thought his little gesture might become a symbol of peace and calm in an area known for being crime-filled and unsafe. You might expect that someone would deface the statue or that it would simply disappear after a few days of sitting forlorn on the asphalt. But instead, what happened is that people in the neighborhood discovered the statue and began to leave offerings there, flowers, food, and candles. A group of Vietnamese women in prayer robes began to gather at the statue for worship. To this day, the author continues, every morning at 7 a.m., worshipers ring a chime, clang a bell, and play soft music as they chant prayers. The original statue is now part of an elaborate shrine that includes a wooden statue standing 10 feet tall and is filled with fruit, religious portraits, and offerings of all kinds. And the photo on the front of your order of service is taken from the site. It all began with a hardware store Buddha. And if this wasn't remarkable enough, police statistics say that in the 2 years since worshippers started showing up at the shrine for daily prayers, the overall crime rate in the neighborhood has dropped by an astonishing 82%. The number of robbery reports went down from 14 to 3, aggravated assaults from 5 to 0, burglaries from 8 to 4, and narcotics from 3 to none. A police spokesperson went on record to say, I don't know what to attribute it to, but those are the numbers. It's a remarkable story, so much so that I had to double check and make sure it was not a parody, but I can find no indication that it is. And whatever you might think about the ethics or the aesthetics of selling Buddha statues in hardware stores, in this case, it seems to have sparked something of a miracle. A small offering from an unassuming person, and a piece of pavement is transformed into holy ground. Less a case of, if you build it, they will come, and more like, they will build it when they come, and they may come out of nowhere. By his own admission, Dan Stevenson didn't really have a sense of what he was trying to do. It seems that he just gave what he had within him to give. Now, what is the lesson here for us as Unitarians in Canada, or for the Universalist Unitarian Church of Halifax? Does it provide some guidance as we explore new ways of being in the world? Perhaps you might choose to express your faith by setting up a giant flaming chalice at the corner of Barrington and Spring Garden Road. Perhaps office workers on their lunch breaks might set up a spontaneous shrine to the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Or maybe all of the fast food chains would gradually be replaced by locally owned co-ops selling fair trade coffee and gluten-free sandwiches. Or maybe someone would just call the fire department and they would take away our charitable status. As remarkable as the story of the Buddha statue is, maybe we need to take our inspiration from it in a less literal way. Maybe the lesson for us is simply to reflect on what gift we have to offer the world and find a way to give it simply and without pretense. The Reverend Sean Newton says that the best way to tell the story of our faith is to tell the story of how it has changed us. So here is a story of mine. As a teenager, I was a member of the extremely close-knit youth group at the First Unitarian Congregation of Ottawa when in the summer of 2001, we were struck by tragedy. One of our members, named Anya, was killed when, of all things, she was struck by lightning. She had gone away to a bed and breakfast for the summer, for the weekend, and had gone out walking in the fresh air following a thunderstorm, and a stray bolt of lightning had hit the ground right next to where she was standing. She was killed immediately. A friend from church called me later that day to tell me the news, and I took my turn calling others, sharing tears and disbelief at the loss of someone we had seen only days before. We were all in shock. None of us knew what to do, but we knew that we needed to be together, and it was obvious that we would gather at the church. We all made our way there that evening, hugged each other and wept as we gathered in the youth room in the back corner of the building. Our adult advisors joined us and we sat in a circle and lit a candle, passing it around and around for hours, sharing stories and expressing our grief until we were finished. We went to my friend Joel's house after and slept in sleeping bags on his basement floor, none of us wanting to be at home alone that night. We arrived back at church the next morning at 10:30, claiming a few pews for ourselves in the front right corner of the sanctuary. We wanted to be there when the minister shared the news with the congregation. I don't remember the sequence of events, but Brian, the minister, got up and told the congregation of Anya's death. And at some point, the congregation started singing. There is more love somewhere. We huddled together, and though my eyes were a blur of tears, I saw that all the adults in the congregation were making a protective circle around us. Gathering in love around a group of weeping teenagers singing, there is more love somewhere. There is more hope somewhere, and I'm gonna keep on till I find it. Some of the 200 or so adults in that church that morning were people I knew well, and many of them were people I knew barely, if at all. Some of them have now passed away themselves, and many more may have only a faint memory of that Sunday morning. But they have left me with a gift. The gift of a felt experience of the way that love can burst through in the midst of anything and point the way back to life. I know what love is because I have felt it. I know what religion is because I have lived it. I know what community is because I have been inside the circle of its care. And if there is such a thing as salvation, it must be a little bit like that. I invite you to rise in body or spirit with me as we sing hymn 1007, "There's a River Flowing in My Soul." Embodied in a totally different form. We love our congregations and we are called out of them. We love our congregations because they have loved us, given us a sense of possibility and worth which it is hard to shake. We are called out of them because it is the nature of love to expand. It is the nature of love to give freely of what has been freely given. Building the church of our imagination is not primarily about being innovative or funky. It is not even about becoming leaner and more focused so that we can continue to thrive in fast-paced and uncertain times. It is simply harvesting the fruits of our experience and our tradition, and scattering the seeds of grace as widely and generously as we can. It is about setting our imaginations free from their cages, learning to see with the soul of an amateur as much as a pragmatic professional. It means letting our hearts break open, wide enough to make room for the world as it is. Much like Dan Stevenson, when we do so, we may give birth to unexpected miracles.